Hola, welcome to Barely Disabled on Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Rare. I hope everybody's having a good week. Today, I have a really good show for all of you guys. It's going to be fun, it's going to be interesting, it's going to be educational, and I hope you guys love it. When many of us are watching our favorite show and our favorite movies, or reading our favorite books or listening to our favorite music, most of the time it's because because we love the stories and the storylines that we're watching, but it's also because we have favorite characters, right? When I'm watching The Big Bang Theory, I know that my favorite character is Sheldon. Why? I don't know, he's just funny. And in some way, I can relate to him because he's OCD and I'm OCD. But that's the thing when we're picking a show or watching a TV show or a movie, is the fact that most of the time we're watching it because we are relating to that character. We are connecting with them. We can see our stories and our experiences being reflected back at us. In the media that we are consuming. And that's representation. Representation means having a character that looks like you, that shares your same traits or conditions or race or age or gender. And, you know, being able to find a character that you can relate is really awesome. It validates your experiences and your life and allows you to connect with not only with the character but with others. Today, I want to talk to you guys about the representation of the disability community in media. How are they portrayed? How are they represented? What does this representation say about the disability community? The truth is that there's not really a lot of representation of the disability community in media. At least there wasn't when I was growing up. I don't remember seeing a lot of disabled characters on TV or in movies, or knowing of any musician who had a disability. I think the first disabled character that I remember seeing might have been Forrest Gump. So watching Forrest Gump, I think, was my first experience of seeing a disabled character on TV, on a major movie. Because the truth is that when there is a disabled character on TV, they don't really apport anything to the main story. They're just there maybe for an episode or two, or for a small portion of the movie, but that's it. So there's not a lot of representation of the disability community in media. And there's a few things that affect the way that these characters are seen by the disability community, and why there is a huge lack of connection between members of the disability community and those characters. And one of them is creeping up. That's creeping up is a term widely used in the disability community that means when a non-disabled actor plays a disabled character. For example, like I said, Forrest Gump, which was played by Tom Hanks, who is not disabled, or much more recently, if you guys watched The Good Doctor on ABC, that's played by Freddie Highmore, who portrays an autistic man, but he is not autistic himself. So that means creeping up. That means a non-disabled actor playing a disabled character. And the main issue with creeping up is the fact that the representation is not authentic. Members of the disability community can see right away, and even the general public can see that it's not authentic, that that is not a real portrayal or an honest portrayal of that character. Because let's be honest, those actors, they don't know the real struggles and emotions that individuals with disability face every day. They don't really understand the discrimination, and like I said, all the obstacles they have to face in their everyday life. So when we see a able-bodied actor or actress playing a disabled character, you know, that's it kind of sucks, you know, because there are so many disabled actors and actresses in out there who would love to have those parts, who do amazing jobs portraying those characters and giving it a real authentic feel to the characters. And another thing is that when we are represented in any type of media, like TV shows or movies, the characters are oftentimes one dimension. You know, their storylines are flat. There's no real story behind them. They're only there, you know, they're only there sometimes just to teach a lesson, to teach the able protagonist how to be more accepting, how to be more inclusive, or to help them conquer whatever obstacles they're facing. But the actual disabled character does not have any real story. Like, we don't really get to understand or see their struggle. And if we do, it's only, like I said, for one episode or two. And I think it's because most times, TVs and movies, I don't know why, they seem to be afraid to explore a person's disability. They're afraid to really dive deep and develop that character so that the audience is able to see, you know, the real struggle, the real emotionals, the reality of living with a disability. And I think because of that, members of the disability community can really relate to those characters. Yeah, we're happy that they're on TV or that they're in a movie, even if it is for a short moment. But, I mean, what does that matter is we don't really, is the disabled character is not really developed, or is they're not really the focus or the main protagonist of the story. You know, if they're overlooked or forgotten in favor of the other characters. And one of the reasons why I think these characters fall flat to members of the disability community and to many of the shows is because oftentimes when these writers and producers and directors are creating a show, they don't really take into account the perspective of the disability community. They just really base it off of their knowledge or what they think someone with disability goes through, but they don't really take into account perspective for someone with a disability. And because of this, I feel that in order for the disabled characters, whenever they're being in books, comic books, TV, or movies, to be fully authentic, to be fully authentically portrayed, I think we need to have actual disabled people, you know, consulted. I think we should have disabled people writing, producing, directing, and being cast in these characters, so that they are able to tell the experience the way it should be, not the way people think it is. Because by not having a disabled artist or writer or actor in the creative process and development of media projects, it denies the perspective of individuals with disabilities and the chance to be fully represented in media. It denies them that right. And I feel that, you know, being 2020, there's no excuse. There's no excuse to not have better representation of the disability community. And because having appropriate and empowering representation matters so that our lives, our experiences are displayed in their authentic forms. Representation matters. You've been listening to Rarely Disabled on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. Welcome back to Rarely Disabled on Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Rare. Let's continue our conversation of disability representation. Let's talk about TV. Obviously, there are many disabled characters on TV shows. If you did see one, they were mostly there as an educational or inspirational purpose. And what I mean by this is that they were there to educate or, you know, inspire the able protagonist to be either more accepting or kind or inclusive, or to teach them that they can overcome anything. Luckily for the disability community, in recent years, many TV shows are focusing on disability. Currently, I am watching a show on the network ABC called The Good Doctor. The Good Doctor is a medical drama about Sean, a young autistic 7th surgical resident. And we see in the show as Sean struggles to connect with his coworkers and with his patients, but also we see him struggle to navigate life and his many challenges. Sean is played by Freddie Highmore, who is not actually autistic, so he's creeping up the turn of a non-disabled actor playing a disabled character. But he does such a good job of portraying Sean that at times I almost forget that he's not really autistic. But what I like most about this show is that we see Sean, you know, having his first girlfriend, falling in love, you know, making friends with his coworkers, navigating all that. And we see a new side to autism, because oftentimes people think that those with autism are not able to live normal lives or to manage these complex social interactions, but they are. They're able to do all that and much more. Two other shows that I think that broke the barriers for the disability community and opened its doors are Switch at Birth and Speechless. So Switch at Birth was a TV show on ABC Family, or now Freeform, that ran from 2011 to 2017. And it was about two teenage girls who were accidentally switched at birth and who grew up in very different environments. And one of them ended up being deaf when she was little because of an accident. And what I really love about the show was that it was the first mainstream television show to have multiple deaf and hard of hearing series regulars, not just as extra. And also the fact that the main character, Daphne, who was deaf, was played by Katie Leclerc, who is actually hard of hearing. So I thought that was really cool about that show. It was nice to see a show about someone with disability and not just being a secondary character, but being the protagonist. I had never seen that before. I'm hard of hearing, so I could relate to some of the things that Daphne went through. And it was really great the way they did. They show how she struggled to form a relationship with her biological family, who are hearing and did not know at the time initially how to communicate with her through sign language, but they eventually did. And another cool thing about this show was that the actress who were hearing actually did learn American Sign Language in order to be on the show, so I thought that was awesome. But one of the most impactful episodes of the show, and that really broke the barriers for the disability community, was the show where the deaf students are protesting the closure of their school. So this episode was completely in American Sign Language. There was no auditory lines, so you could not hear the hearing people talking, the characters talking. All you could hear was the music and background noise. So it was completely silent, and the audience was able to somewhat experience what the individuals with hard hearings were going through or go through every day. But what I really liked, but what I loved the most, is the fact that the show was openly supporting radical disability politics. They were telling us, the audience, that disabled spaces mattered, that the actions and the actions that the students were taking by protesting the closure of the school mattered, because disabled spaces mattered. So I thought that was really incredible. It did really open the doors, like I said, for the disability community and for other shows to flourish and to be born and created. Like, for example, I really enjoy the show Speechless on the network ABC. And that show, which started Minnie Driver, Josh Rush, Bowie, and Michael Foley, was about a teenage boy with cerebral palsy and his whole family. And the cool thing was that, again, they used an actual disabled actor, like on Switch Up Bird, because Michael Foley, who plays JJ, the main character, actually has cerebral palsy, so that made the show much more authentic and real. But the best part about Speech was that through humor, they were able to show the complexity of a family impacted by a disability. It's not very often that you get to see the family side of disability. So I could definitely relate to the overprotected parents, the overprotected mom, the overprotected siblings. And I could relate to, you know, like JJ trying to be independent, trying to find my own way and my own voice, despite my disabilities. But I could also relate, you know, to trying to balance family life with all the, you know, the range of the many medical appointments and, you know, the struggles that sometimes the able siblings have, you know, to be seen when they have a sibling with a disability. So my family could really, yeah, relate to the show, and it was great for them for me to finally see on TV some of the crazy things that my family go through on a daily. So I love that. Because at the end, you know, seeing characters like Sean, Daphne, and JJLTV gives young people with disability, you know, the experience of seeing people with disability having normal experiences, such as dating, going to college, or going to work. And it really, you know, this shows they really normalize disability in a new and important way, you know. We're not longer in the background of the story. We're at the forefront of the story. But most importantly, I feel that this shows and this character, they depict the reality of being a disabled kid, you know, in normal settings, in high school, in college, and at work. Also, the realities of interacting with an able-bodied world and finding the best way to fit in. You've been listening to Rarely Disabled on Penguin Radio at radio.dominica.edu, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. Hey there, welcome back to Rarely Disabled on Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Rare. How many of you guys have seen a major disabled character in a movie? Not very often, right? But as I watched the movie The Outside with Bryan Cranston and Kevin Hart, in which a quadriplegic and his new caregiver, an ex-combat for an unlikely friendship, I realized that the disability community is slowly but surely being represented in the big screen. And it's true, because from the late 1980s to the late 2000s, with movies such as Children of a Lesser God, Rayman, Born on the 4th of July, Forrest Gump, Million Dollar Baby, The Theory of Everything, and Me Before You, there has been an increase in the critically acclaimed films with major disabled characters and with major disability themes. So slowly, we are seeing disabled characters being the lead, or playing the lead roles in the big screen. And some of this is because, obviously, novelty, you know, the audience, including those with disabilities, are amazed to see a disabled person appearing in a major movie and having, you know, the lead role. But also, emotions, you know, oftentimes disability is viewed as a hardship and as a tragedy. So while any sort of success with disability is seen as heroic or as a triumph, because the person with disability was able to overcome their disability, and you know, movies are very big on those emotions, you know, those heroes' emotions. And the last thing is because of social enlightenment, you know, watching and appreciating these movies allow the viewers to have a sense of having learned something, or to become aware of a new experience. But what people don't often realize when they watch movies with a disabled character is that they are represented in a way that is not accurate, because there are many stereotypes and cliches attached to disabled characters. For example, in the movies of The Outside, The Theory of Everything, and Me Before You, the main characters are portrayed as angry, bitter wheelchair users who can't get over their lost abilities and who are always lashing out at non-disabled people. And that's pretty common. Whenever you see a movie with a disabled characters, they are always portrayed as angry and bitter. Another cliche that we often see in movies is that disabled people prefer to be dead than to live with a disability. And this is very obvious in the movie Me Before You, in which the main character, who is in a wheelchair, enters a assisted suicide clinic. And then another stereotype that we often see in major movies is the childlike, intellectually disabled character. So this is a character with an intellectual disability who is always portrayed as like a child or innocent and good. And we can see this in the 2001 movie I Am Sam with Sean Penn and Dakota Fanning. Another stereotype is the blind person who sees more than the sighted person. So like they have a superpower to see beyond what the able person is unable to see. And then another stereotype that we often see is that the disabled person as either demanding to be cared for or catered, or those who just insist on their family and friends go and live their own life. Like they don't need them. So those are some of the cliches and stereotypes that we see in movies. But oftentimes, these stereotypes and cliches are because able people, those are the thoughts that most able persons have about individuals with disabilities. But they are often very inaccurate. They're not a real representation of someone with a disability. Disabled people aren't always angry or bitter about their situation. They don't often wish to die. On the contrary, most of us, we are okay with our disability. We learn to live with it because it's part of if we are born with a disability, it's part of our life. And if we're not born with it, then we make peace with it. We make peace with our situation and we make the best of it, We become active members of our society. But furthermore, these movies, again, they often cast non-disabled actors to play disabled characters, which means that they are denying opportunities to disabled actors and actresses. And those are opportunities that they deserve because there are so many great disabled actors out there who would do such an amazing job portraying these characters because they lived it. They know what it is. They know the reality of living with a disability. But, despite all these misconceptions about individuals with disabilities and the inaccurate portrayal sometimes of individuals with disabilities, I am glad that we are seeing more movies about disabilities and that they are increasing and becoming more popular. And they are becoming popular. We've seen the movie Wonder, the movie The King's Speech, Soul Surfer, like I said, the Theory of Everything, Me Before You, The Upside. So many great movies. And I am glad that they are they are becoming popular because representation matters. It is important to see your life and your experiences portrayed in movies. But most important, I feel it is important for moviegoers to embrace disability as just another part, another aspect of life to be seen in films. So if you haven't seen any of the movies that I just mentioned, go on Netflix, go on YouTube, search them out. There are so many great movies out there, disability, that I invite you to watch. You've been listening to Rarely Disabled on Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Rare. Welcome back to Rarely Disabled on Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Rare. This is our last segment on disability representation. We have previously spoken about representation in TV, in movies, and now we are going to talk about representation in music. As we all know, music is incredible. It has the power to uplift, to heal, and to connect. It doesn't matter the language or the sound, we can all feel music, we can all understand it, and we can all dance to it. Music is also a form of representation. If you turn on the radio today, we can find many musicians with disabilities playing on the radio. Even if you don't realize, these famous musicians do have a disability. Let's look back at history. Let's look back at Beethoven. We all know Beethoven. He was one of the greatest composers of all time. This pianist, conductor, and composer lost his hearing at the age of 26. But despite this, he managed to write some of his best work, such as the Ninth Symphony, while he was deaf, proving that you did not need to be able to hear to make great music. Two of my favorite musicians, Stevie Wonder and Andrea Bocelli, are blind. Yes, I know they're a little old for my age, but what can I say? They make great music. Stevie Wonder became blind shortly after he was born. But he found music as a way to connect with others. And by the age of 9, he had already learned to play the piano and the harmonica. Eventually, as we all know, he became one of music's greatest stars with hits like Superstition and my favorite, Signed, Sealed, Delivered, and Yours. And while Stevie Wonder lost his vision when he was a baby, famous Italian opera singer Andrea Bocelli lost his vision at the age of 12 when he was diagnosed with traumatic glaucoma after a soccer accident. But despite this, he has said that he has always loved classical music and music in general, and music was one of the many ways that he found to overcome his disability. And despite their blindness, these two great singers were able to become music legends. Then we can also look at Rick Allen, the drummer of the band Def Leppard, who lost his arm after a car accident. They had to amputate his arm, but eventually, and encouraged by his bandmates, he retaught himself how to play the drum using foot pedals. And that's really cool. I didn't know that. And most recently, we can take a look at Selena Gomez, who several years ago was diagnosed with lupus. Although lupus is not a visible disability, it's an invisible disability. It is a chronic autoimmune disease, which causes the body to attack itself. And after her diagnosis, Selena Gomez has become a voice for the disability community. And then last year, I just found this out when I was researching, chandelier singer Sia announced to her fans that she suffers from a rare genetic disease called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is a disease that causes chronic pain. And the coolest thing that I found when I was researching representation of music, of disability community in music, was the orchestra, para orchestra, which is a orchestra based in England that is the world's largest ensemble that integrates disabled and non-disabled musicians. And this incredible orchestra has various musicians with disabilities, including a one-handed pianist, wheelchair-bound and blind musicians, and many others. And this orchestra, Para Orchestra, you guys should look it up, is reinventing orchestra in the 21st century. They have a very unique and creative sound. So I encourage you to really take a look and to look them up and listen to them, because it's really cool and they have a really neat sound. And of course, you know, there are countless other singers and musicians that I haven't mentioned with disabilities. If you go on Google and you can find out about all of them and how they have overcome their disability. Mainly their passion for music has led them to overcome their disability. But most importantly, I think they have shown us, you know, the general public, that we can conquer all our dreams no matter what. And ultimately, what I wanted to accomplish with this episode today about representation is the fact that representation in any form of media matters, because it allows people to see their lives and their experiences being reflected in everyday settings. It gives them role models that they can look up to. But it also allows them to relate to others in and outside of their own community. So seeing disabled characters in TV shows, in movies, in music, in books, or any sort of media is truly, truly important. Because, like I said, it allows us to see our experiences reflected back at us. It means that our experiences or our lives matter beyond just our disability. But it also raises awareness about all these different disabilities and conditions that many people don't know about or don't understand. You guys, this representation can only be authentic and real once we start to hire and cast disabled actors and actresses, once we start hiring disabled writers, producers, artists, creatives, that will be able to p- provide a true account and a first-person perspective of what it is like to live with a disability. Once we do that, then these representations that we see in these videos will be truly authentic and will be truly real, and the audience and those consuming these medias will be able to truly connect with the characters, but also with the disability community at large. Thank you for listening to Rarely Disabled on Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. I'm your host, DJ Rare.